Aloha. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds episode 363.
Get a little surfing in, did you?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Was there surfing in Hawaii? I didn't surf every day that I was there. Yeah.
But to be clear, though, you didn't take any haunted tikis back with you, did you?
No, Chris,
So you didn't have to go back.
I didn't
return anything, right?
No, I didn't see Vincent Price there.
No, okay,
or
good.
A family of oddly put together adoptees.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that.
So you did all the right things.
I did all the right things.
Excellent.
I had a great, I want to say mahalo to everybody.
Did you drive a Cadillac into a volcano?
Yes, I did. That was after my second show Saturday.
Okay, cool.
I did it with a bunch of fans. They paid for it.
It's one
of our
show.
It's one of our Patreon levels.
Yes.
I'll drive you into a volcano.
In a Cadillac.
Yeah, I think it's what, $10 a month? It's not a bad deal. It's a great deal. Yeah, so mahalo to everybody that came out. I did a tour to Oahu and the Big Island, did shows. I was one of the judges on a stand-up comedy contest on Wednesday in Oahu. That was really cool. They've really built up a cool comedy scene there in Oahu and in Honolulu. There's a lot of places.
And then you
to
got to judge it.
I got to judge it and say you're all
tear
horrible.
It
yeah, you guys should quit. No, it was cool. I it was great.
Well done, everybody. Here's what you're all doing wrong.
Here's what LA does with comedy.
We ruin it.
Yeah.
We sanitize it for TV and take out the teeth. No, it was a cool thing to see, and like there was 100 people at this comedy competition on a Wednesday. It was packed. Yeah. It was really neat. So
they all came from the volcano.
Yeah, they all did. Yeah. They all from beneath it.
Yes.
There's a lot of zombies on the islands. So yeah. I don't know if you know this. But yeah, it was cool. And then we did shows.
Hashtag Cadillacs and volcanoes.
I need a pen. Aaron, can I have a pen, please?
Love to have.
Thank you. Just got tossed a pen. So yeah, it was cool. And then we did shows in Hilo and under a tent.
That
was outside.
Awesome.
And it started raining. I'm not joking. And the left side of the tent filled up with water.
Oh, of course it did.
Then a guy comes out from the back with a stick and just pokes it and drains. And everyone, I was like, never had that happen in 27 years of being a comedian. And the audience is listening.
You haven't drained the tent in comedy? Come on. I thought you were a pro.
And I had a hashtag drain the tent. So that's what we had going on in Hilo. And it was funny. Everyone's looking at me like, oh, Mr. Hollywood wants a fixed roof. You know? So L.A. guys, so fancy. But no, then
this guy's judging our show. He can't even have a tent.
Yeah.
I know it's a different show, but the premise.
It was great. And again, on the Big Island, there's a cool little comedy scene starting to build up. This guy, Jose Dynamite, who put together, he's starting this thing called Kick-Ass Comedy Tour. And he is bringing shows and you know, getting audiences. Of course, the big island is the island of Hawaii, which is it's literally physically the biggest one. That's why they call it the Big Island. But it has 200,000 people on the whole island, where Oahu has 1.2 million people. So, and Honolulu gets a lot of great shows. Adam Sandler was there and a bunch of other stuff while I was, you know, like they're always getting giant Bruno Mars and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So the Big Island is like a small town in the sense that they really, like, it's doing a bar gig, but it's packed, and people love it, and so
just an Allen Hopper away.
I was.
Yeah.
It was great. And
that's awesome.
So thanks, everybody, who put that together. I saw James Money.
Oh, yeah.
James. So he's doing well.
Good.
And who else did I see?
Yeah, I saw a photo with you and him.
Yeah. He posted a photo, which
You look like a ventriloquist act.
I see this. James, I know you're listening. He is a 6'7" Samoan, and in a photo next to him, I look like a dummy. Look like I'm 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like it's, and he could pick me up just like a little kid and be like, ah, you're adorable. So it was great to see him. And then a lot of Film Nerd fans came out to all the shows.
Oh, cool.
Tim and Victoria saw me in Kona. That was great. Mm-hmm. Brian Hobgood took me surfing. So
nice.
Alohas and mahalos to all of you for that. So that was fantastic.
Well, let's
I'm drinking Kona coffee today.
Oh, nice. Well, nice. Hey, shout out to the Big Island.
And we should introduce our guest and get into these movies. A lot to talk about.
First time guest.
Yes.
Hello.
Never been on the show.
Yeah, never been.
Never been on the show. We met on the road and then kind of reconnected in L.A., as is the case I've happened with a lot of comics. And A lot of people I've met on the road don't remember. So I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. To be fair, I was a different gender when we met on the road. So there is a reason for you to not see it. It just happened to be it came up in that conversation that was like relevant. It wasn't like me going, hey, don't you remember me? Like, it wasn't
but
that.
That's not the reason I don't remember.
No, my act was terrible back then. That's fair. No, I get it. Like, I wouldn't remember me either. Generic. I had not been to Hawaii and built up my skills.
Ladies and gentlemen, Riley Silver.
Hello. Where am I looking for the camera, by the
that
way?
That one, okay. The blue one right there,
okay.
If you want.
Okay, cool.
This guy holding it up. He's filming. I don't know what
him.
He just wanders in. Yeah. what have you been doing? That's a horrible interview question. I've only done 400 of these, and I just have a hey.
You know, for a second, I was like, where's he going with this?
I just got back from the Bay Area doing comedy up there for a few days, and they have a good scene up there.
They have a nice little comedy scene.
They've really done some. Mm-hmm. I heard
there's some tech up there, too.
Yeah. They're really getting into the internet up
there,
and they're really getting into forcing people out of their neighborhoods they lived in their entire lives. They're really good at that.
They're really good at gentrifying it with giant... tech money.
But burritos are great. So, I just was up there a few months ago for Sketchfest. I got to go back this past week to actually, I headlined a show in the Oakland area called Man Haters, which was pretty cool. It was all women and queers. It was great.
I am both for that show.
I'm both of them things. So it's perfect. So then I did that. And then I did, actually, my friend Augie Smith was recording his album up there the same weekend.
Yeah.
So I got to do a guest spot on that. And then I did a show in Oakland at this place called... This gaming store called Your Move Games. They have a show called Critical Hit, I think, and it was awesome. It was like so cool. And so it's one of those scenes too where even though it's a huge city and they have a massive comedy scene that's like famous or whatever, like their audience are still like, hey, come out for drinks afterwards and like buying me cocktails and stuff like that.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Great.
I feel like San Francisco is, I always call it a California Manhattan.
Yeah.
In the sense that like New Yorkers go out to live shows. They support the shit out of them. And it's, as we all know, it's difficult here in LA at times to get a crowd. And San Francisco, man, they'll come out for shows. Sketchfest is always great. Like,
yeah, I loved it.
So was it a show like in like a tabletop gaming store?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
It's like a place that has like board games you can like rent and check out, or you can just like borrow while you're there. And yeah, they had like, it's a big store too.
Right.
There's a few of those in LA too, but yeah.
Because board gaming is like there's a huge resurgence in board gaming. It's like,
yeah.
It's like vinyl albums.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
it's like podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just board games everywhere. Everyone's got their own unique board game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good weekend. I drove up there Thursday, drove back yesterday, or Monday, or Sunday, sorry.
Well, we got a lot of movies to talk about. I want to talk about Beauty and the Beast again. I know we talked about it last week, but we're also going to talk about Life and Power Rangers.
Ooh.
And I saw Beauty and the Beast with the family over the weekend, and
Beauty
it was interesting.
And the
we,
Beast.
You guys had some questions because, like, I remember you saying, "Well, like, well, what do your kids think because of the animated version, and how does it stack up? What do they think?" And here are the answers. Everyone liked the animated version better.
Really?
Yes. Everyone liked the animated version better. And I was watching this movie, and we all had the same reaction. Like, if I were a shareholder in Disney, I would be happy this movie got made. Creatively, there's no purpose for it to exist.
Really?
It's really one of those movies that I really just saw as this is more of a almost a shot-for-shot remake with a couple new different things.
It.
And just a live-action version of the animated movie. But what I found interesting is I didn't think the characters had the chemistry as the animated characters did. I really felt like the chemistry between the characters in the animated version was better. The most surprising thing in the movie was me just every once in a while going, I think that's Kevin Kline. I think that's Kevin Kline in that movie.
Is it mostly makeup or is it CGI? I haven't really seen much.
It's a mix.
Okay.
It's definitely a mix. But when you have, you know, things like, you know, the clock and the candelabra, and I love how the whole thing is set in France and there's only one character with a French accent. Everyone else has a British accent.
Yeah.
It's out of my act.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where the French accent is so sacré bleu, so caricatured, because it's, you know, obviously based on the animated version. But I was really watching this going, okay, well, there's no surprise. I know what's going to happen. This is CG Wolves, okay, a Beast, you know, Emma Watson, the same exact songs. Occasionally a new song was thrown in or a couple new lyrics here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, now this is through the lens of seeing the animated version many, many times. Because when you have children, you've seen it many times.
Well, that's the question that Ramon Rivas brought up last week when we were talking about it, is do you think that the fact that the 1991, so not only have you seen it with your kids? You probably saw it earlier when it came out anyway, because you've always been a Disney fan.
Yes, so I saw it before.
Did that influence you so much that you got in the way of you enjoying this?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because of Jungle Book. Because Jungle Book surprised me so much.
I heard where it's great. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's fantastic.
Original Jungle Book is a fantastic animated movie.
And the difference was it was a different interpretation of the source material.
See, that's what I think. That's my problem with it. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, and that's the track that Disney is taking with these films. We're either seeing shot-by-shot remakes, like another example of like that I would put Beauty and the Beast in was Cinderella. When they did Cinderella, I'm like, all right, well, they're just hitting all these beats. However, when they do something different, like Jungle Book, like going back to the source material and having it a little darker, a little more interesting, and they're like, okay, we're going to keep one or two songs in there, but not all of the ones from the original animated movie. And also, when you look at Sleeping Beauty, they didn't do Sleeping Beauty. They did Maleficent from her perspective. So,
well, not fantastic, but it was good.
So it was,
I realized I was like, I'm not going to be the person who's like,
Everything's
amazing. I liked it. I liked it a lot, but I saw it on TV.
But they're different takes of these classic stories and of the classic versions of the Disney animated version. So whereas this one was like, all right, we're going to hit every beat. We're going to make sure that we're not going to stray from the path at all. And this is one that was, it didn't do anything wrong, but it didn't really do anything right. It just existed.
That's what it looked like. That's why I haven't been that excited to go see it, because I liked the original one. And it's what was the one that was like, it's basically why we have a Best Animated Picture feature now at the Oscars, because that one got nominated and it was like, we should have a thing for these.
It was a big deal. It was backlash on that too. If you remember when Beauty and the Beast got nominated, it's like, oh, an animated movie nominated for the Best Picture?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. and then the category started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every time I watched the previews, I could just watch the original version of it. And like I saw like the Pete's Dragon remake had some merit. I was kind of bored by it for the most part. And that's one where I wish they had maybe going a little bit closer to the old story, and it maybe had some. I like musicals, so I want to see more musical movies happening, which is good. But I also feel like I don't want to just see the ones I've already seen. Like there's a certain point where it just feels like a high budget version of these like TV live productions of musicals they've been doing for the last several years. Like the only one of those has been really good was Grease. Like everything else has been kind of mediocre at best.
Let me ask you this, Chris, because like as we talked about last week, and you brought it up, like Jungle Book did a good job of doing a live action CG version from a animated film that we said was
that was its own thing.
It was its own thing. So do you think it was, because the director was Bill Condon, who's done Mr. Holmes, he's done The Fifth Estate. Do you think it was a directorial problem? Do you think it was a script structure?
I think the script was exactly the same. In fact, I don't even know why you would give a screenwriting credit to anybody on that movie. But I think what it was more of Disney going, this is our most beloved cash cow, this and Lion King. We are not straying too far from anything on this. I really felt like it was a studio kind of thing where keep it the way it's supposed to be.
Repackage it.
Exactly. Yeah, repackage it. And that's really what you got. You got a repackaged film.
It's weird to me that they're so afraid to take risks at movies like this, because they just did two original movies back to back that have all been huge hits. When you've got Frozen, Zootopia, and Moana, it's like,
huge.
Why are
huge.
You suddenly being like afraid to stray from like what you're doing really well with?
And Jungle
right
Book
now.
Was a huge hit too. So I really thought this was like I think with Lion King, and I believe even Little Mermaid is probably in development right now, I believe, for a live action version. I think those
we're gonna get real lions.
Yeah. I think it's
gonna watch a real lion die. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Kids will love that.
Basically,
the most traumatic thing. Let's do it in 3D.
Look, we already have all the art assets in from Jungle Book. Just make them do different things. We'll have Lion King.
I do feel like Jungle Book makes a lot more sense too for live action versus Beauty and the Beast, because you can make animals that look really realistic and it's kind of cool.
Yes.
Whereas like Beauty and the Beast, like these all still look like CGI household appliances.
That's such a great point, because that is the thing that made the new Jungle Book. Oh wow. We've talked about this a lot on this show.
It looks so good.
Yeah, you're taking an original thing and you're now making it better with the technology. It's almost like we've talked about live action science fiction from a long time ago, or action movies from a long time ago. You could remake that now and make it cool.
Oh my God,
and I
yeah.
think you're right, because a kid going through the jungle, making these animals bigger, scarier looking, and yet still move realistically really added to the new Jungle Book.
For sure.
Where this, you said, is... I mean, yeah. the candelabra and stuff. I mean, I wasn't so beholden to the original Beauty and the Beast. So when I saw it last week, I was like, oh,
there's a tipping cool. point too. Like when you have something so photorealistic, like the candelabras and the like the clock. For me, anyway, it begins to lose the charm of like an animated character because when you have a cartoonish animated character, that charm is built into the design. So the more and more realistic you get with that design, you run the risk of losing the charm. Now, some people disagree with that, saying no, they were just as charming. But for me, like I like the fact that you know with Lumiere and Cogsworth, the exaggerated features of the animated version just made it more cartoonish and more fun and more charming. Whereas now we're in this real world, so they have to look more realistically like a candelabra and a clock. And even though they are alive and interesting, so I just found it not as charming. Yeah.
Do you think the casting was a problem, or you just think it was?
No, I thought the casting, like I literally think like nothing was done incorrectly or correctly. It just like existed. Like, however, I did go in thinking that Luke Evans was miscast because when you look at Gaston, you think like The Rock. Somebody
giant. I don't know how The Rock wasn't playing Gaston.
Yeah, and just like giant muscles all over, but. He did a fine job. Like there was nothing wrong. Like you bought the fact that he was a little smaller than the animated Gaston because he still had the swagger and the attitude and everyone could sing. Like there was not one where you go, I don't know how they got in there. Like there wasn't a like what was it like when every once in a while they do a musical and there's like one character or one actor that is like, oh, why did they can't really
like
say
the Pierce Brosnan
Aaron
and Mamma
has something
Mia.
He wants to say
or Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, that's a great example.
Gerard Butler, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. The most intense songs in Les Mis and given to the guy who only thought to sing rock and roll.
Yeah, like. Russell Crowe in Les Mis is a great example.
Or how about Johnny Depp in Sweeney Todd? Like, why do you give an operatic singer to a guy who has like gravel in his throat? Like,
because Tim Burton directed.
Yeah.
All right. So, and the kids though, the kids in
same exact response. They liked it, but still thought the animated one was better.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least you don't have to buy this DVD now.
No, thank God. You just that's can one less. Yeah, I think
dust actually. Off the other one.
Yep. So I can buy another version of. A Kubo.
Oh, God. I'm so on board with that. I could get every version of Kubo that exists. I would buy if I had the money, I'd get a 4K TV just to watch Kubo on my house.
I wouldn't blame you.
I would have Kubo just playing like an aquarium all the time.
There should be a Criterion Collection version of Kubo come out.
Now, I would see a live-action version of Kubo.
Oh, my God, that'd be fantastic.
I think someone
isn't it live-action kind of already? Because isn't it filmed armatures and...
Well, it's stop motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a good... I would like to see a Kubo on the Two Strings in an amusement park.
They were doing... before it was weird because before it came... I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's fantastic. I really want to see it. But before it came out, Universal was doing a live Kubo, like, show.
What?
But they weren't... But, like, no one knew the movie yet. It was like, their way of, like, drumming up people to want to see it.
It was an exhibit.
Yeah.
And
it had
was,
performances and stuff.
I'll tell you, it was something that came and went... I wanted to go see it, didn't get a chance to go down there because it was only at Universal Studios and it was for the studio. So you have things from Coraline, Kubo, and all these different ones of their different movies.
Yeah.
And I came out and I'm like, oh no, that's gone. I'm like, it was here for like a month. How is anybody going
to
see it?
Yeah, I ran into a friend. I was walking through City Walk and she saw me and ran to say hi to me. And I go, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm in the Kubo thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, there's a movie coming out. It's called Kubo. And the movie came out and the thing wasn't there anymore. I'm like, that's so weird.
Man.
That helps marketing.
Well, it's like when you say that, I'm thinking of the Lion King musical, which was fantastic, and was a cool way, like putting that animated movie in a different medium on stage. I would see that the stuff you could do with Kubo on stage,
right? It'd be amazing.
Would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm anxious to see the the new Harry Potter 2.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited
because
that too.
I mean they're literally. It's going to be here in, I think, another year or two because they have to rebuild one of the theater houses to accommodate all of the special effects and different seatings and stuff that this play needs. So, all right. So let's move on.
I think it'd be cool, speaking of Lion King, what if they actually hired Julie Taymor to be the director of the Lion King movie? That would be amazing. If they actually made like more of like a film adaptation of the stage musical with all the weirdness and the twists and the visuals that she did.
Because,
I mean, Titus Andronicus is a visually gorgeous movie. So I'd love to see them do her vision of Lion King as a live action film. I think they'd be like, so trippy and amazing.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that sounds great. That's a great point.
We can all nerd out on what we'd like to see.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go into, so Riley.
Believe me, there's a couple of fans just right now that just went exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to get an email or a post about it.
One person's throwing a dart at their Julie Tabor. Julie Tabor dartboard. I hated the Tempest. Prospero should be a man always.
Well, so Riley, now you saw Power Rangers.
I did see Power Rangers.
What?
It was a rainy day in San Francisco, and I love Elizabeth Banks, so.
Now, was this also like, I watched this as a kid, was it nostalgia?
Sort of. I watched it as a kid. I was like the exact right age. I think I was like 12 or 13 when it came on. So I was like the exact right age for a show about karate robots. Like, it was like perfect. I think I watched it. I got really into it for about a year or two, and then it was very repetitive because it was just them, you know, building a bad plot around stock footage.
Right.
So it got repetitive after a while. I was like, okay, so then these guys show up, they fight them, then they make the creature big and the robots fight them, and that was the entire plot of the show.
It's Voltron.
Yeah. And then I saw, I remember the first movie when it came out with Ivan the Ooze. I remember that. And then I remember there was a second movie called Turbo that I can't remember if I saw or not, but I think I did. But
even if you didn't see it, you saw it.
Yeah. I feel like I could probably piece together what happened in Turbo. Yeah. But I know the show went on for like a while longer, apparently, but I never saw it. So, I mean, it wasn't the show that I have like a particular nostalgic love for. Mm-hmm. I don't think I probably would have seen it in the theater if I wasn't doing this podcast. But I had the afternoon free, and it was just like, I did get a heads up that it was actually not terrible. And then I do love Elizabeth Banks, and she looks like she's having so much fun in the trailer that I'm like, all right, I kind of wouldn't mind just watching Elizabeth Banks be as Banksy as she can be on screen. And for that level of it alone, it was actually worth seeing. So,
because it had $100 million budget,
right?
And it did apparently $40 million over the weekend.
Oh.
The director is Dean Israelite. Now, he did Project Almanac, which I remember. There's some cool aspects of Project Almanac.
Is that found footage?
That's the found footage. High school kids get superpower.
Oh,
right.
Crazy. They go
kind of like what's the other one that Max Landis wrote? The Chronicle.
Yeah. Okay. It's a high school chronicle.
And
it was high school chronicle.
Chronicle, like a time travel chronicle
thing too, yeah. Right? Is that right?
Almanac is a time travel. Chronicle is a superhero one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Aaron?
Almanac is time travel, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, the superhero one.
But now, the thing about Power Rangers, though, this is a worldwide brand. Even though it only made that much here, it's probably going to make it back overseas.
Oh, my God.
It'll probably
destroy in Asia. Yeah. Like, it's going to make a $500 million in
now,
Asia.
Now, would you say it's like a fun movie?
It's very fun.
Like, my kids are really excited to see it.
I think your kids will like it. How old are your kids?
12 and 8.
Oh, they'll love it. Yeah, it's exactly for them. And it's I was reading today, there apparently was like a romantic subplot that no one appreciated in the audience when they screened it, so they just cut it out, and it's like the movie doesn't miss it at all. Like, it's like,
right.
You know that a plot is not important if you just cut it out and the entire, like, there's not even like a hole that's missing in the theater in the movie. And so it's really fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, it has a lot of humor in it, and it's just exciting.
So let me ask you about the humor. Is there enough like jokes in it for adults? Does that thing that a lot of, like, Disney and Pixar are very good at, of like jokes for the kids, jokes for the adults kind of thing?
It's not quite on that level, but it does do some of that. There's a lot of like joke swearing where like it's like they're like getting ready to like the kid's about to say the Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker thing, and then he stops, goes, mother's good, I'll just say mother. Like, he's actually like identified in the movie as being on the spectrum, so it's kind of like played like he's like trying to be like cool and not working out very well, because they do bend over backwards to make the movie extra diverse, like, because the original show was too, but in a way that kind of doesn't hold up over time. And so that, like, yeah, the Billy character, who was named after Bryan Cranston, who's in the movie, he's Billy Cranston, he's on the spectrum, and then like the Yellow Ranger, it's heavily implied that she's queer. Like, they don't use the term, but they make it very clear that she's meant to be a queer character, which is great, because I think it's like cool for kids to have that in a movie. But yeah, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. And there's like a joke about like different color rangers, different color kids. Like, that was the joke the robot makes when he sees them.
And Zac Efron, is he going to age at all, or is he going to continually?
He's 58.
Yeah,
I believe.
Isn't he?
Is that actually, was it Zac Efron?
Wasn't it?
I think it's a Zac Efron type. I think
it's
like
a Zac Efron lookalike.
I think it is. I think it's
Zach White.
Because the trailer goes
does
so
look
fast,
so much like him.
The trailer goes by so fast where you see their faces. Like I think that's implied. Like subconsciously, people are going to think that's Zac Efron.
Yeah, his his name is I can't find it now.
Maybe Black Refron.
Yes, it's Dacre Montgomery. That's his name. I probably mispronounced that. But yeah,
so it's just an off-brand Zac Efron.
Yeah, he does look like yes. Someone said, "Get me a young Zac Efron."
Right.
And Zac Efron's like, "I'm a young Zac Efron."
Yeah.
Like, not that.
I'm gonna be young until
no,
I'm
younger.
60.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
All right.
Bill Hader's a week funny as Alpha. So I will say that the movie it's as good as a Power Rangers reboot movie has any business being, and it's exactly that good.
Like, because the series isn't some. Doesn't belong in a museum. The series is just it was what it was.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and it was basically a piece together thing import that they would get the costumes for, shoot American scenes for it, and then it became this global phenomenon.
Yeah, right. And it's about that. It's better than I think. I didn't. I thought it was gonna. I was like, I don't. Why are they doing this? Like, why are we digging this mine up again?
Right.
But for what it was entertaining and it was fun. So. Yeah.
All right, let's go to life. Oh, speaking of entertaining and fun, Graham.
Wow, this was not that. life is, I want to bring it up on IMDb here. It is, so what were your thoughts, Chris and Riley, if you saw the trailer? When you saw the trailer for Life, what was your first, like?
Well, like we talked about last week, this is a cheap knockoff of Alien.
See, the first trailer I saw, I thought it was going to be like a Thing knockoff, but set in space. Because it seemed like the very first trailer seemed like the Thing was taking over people. But then later trailers seemed like, no, it's just a Thing that flies around and attacks people. So I can't wait to tell what the alien's doing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. this film is...
Was this Passengers with Aliens?
It was...
Did the alien wake up somebody for a rape fantasy?
Yeah. Already, this sounds more interesting.
Life, I will give it this credit. It has some thrilling scenes when the monster, it starts out as like, you know, microscopic and grows and becomes more powerful. And
as it absorbs the power from the yellow sun?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It sucks off the dilithium crystals. Yeah. it becomes stronger. So there's some scenes that are like, holy shit. And there's some tension there and some. But then, like, there was a thing I predicted from the trailer. I was like, wow, I bet you it ends this way. Mm-hmm. I was 100% correct.
Wow.
I'll have to ask you off mic what that is.
When you're spending an hour and 50 minutes or whatever, however much waste of time this is going, oh, I know where this, and then it happens, you want to yell and you want to set a flamethrower to the screen. Like you just, it's like, oh, I was so mad. I was a little mad at having to do this podcast because I was like, why am I seeing this piece of shit?
Should have seen Power Rangers.
I should have.
That's what's so funny is I was planning on seeing Life, and then I just was just in the mood for a goofy action movie that day. So I'm like, I'll see Power Rangers. I'm glad I did.
I mean, it worked out because we covered all the right films, but I was like, well, I know Chris will see Power Rangers with his kids. Yeah. And so, you know, and I was like,
yeah.
And I was, all right, I'll go see Life. And I was like, you know, I could just be watching the moon reflect off the water in Waikiki, yes. And instead I'm watching this. Fucking...
Or watch the movie Moon again.
I'd watch anything. But so this movie, you know, the problems are, and I guess it's decently cast, other than Ryan Reynolds. So Ryan Reynolds was supposed to be the lead, but he scheduling conflicts. He plays the supporting. Thank God, because. He's doing the Ryan Reynolds I don't like, the quippy no matter what. You know, like, that's great for Deadpool. Love Deadpool. You're a bunch of scientists getting microscopic life, trying to see if there's microscopic life on Mars. You're not all like Johnny Quippy. He's got to, like, go out.
Are they all scientists? Or maybe he was just like, you know.
Yeah, he was the fitness coach. Yeah, he was the personal trainer.
Yeah,
he was the groundling.
He's the possible meat supply if they really get desperate. That's what he's up there for.
So the movie
he's
opens.
The web designer.
No.
He's a social media guy for the space station.
Yeah, he's not a web designer. Social media, maybe. He knows how to hashtag an Instagram, but that's about it. So the movie opens. There's some, like, thing, and he's got to go spacewalk to this very
to a better movie.
Yeah, to God, it's what he did. He jumped off and found it. because when he spoiler alert, he dies. When
he dies,
I was like, thank God, I don't need to hear this bullshit anymore.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal is arguing and screaming. It's the thing. And I know this might just be my thing. Maybe I idolize astronauts way too much. But I've watched so many astronaut documentaries.
There's
and,
worse things to idolize, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. It's,
like personal trainers. Not bad. Social media.
Yes. shouldn't ever idolize a social media person. No offense to the one who's in the room right now, doing a fine job.
Yes. He knows what he does.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's got to get to the gym.
Yeah.
Is like... I've watched so much, and these are the most highly trained people probably on the face of the earth for doing the most dangerous—
For space travel.
For space travel, the most intricate— You need the smartest people to do this job. So when I see just, like, people arguing— Like it's a fucking high school volleyball team that's lost on a field trip.
So it's the Scooby Gang.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's the Scooby Gang.
The Scooby Gang is out in Mars.
It's like a very Doctor Who thing. I watch a lot of Doctor Who, and it's always like, and like, kind of idea is like they're so far in the future, but being in space is almost just like being on, like, on a truck like run or right. whatever. So it's a little bit more casual, but it is so weird. Like always, like scientists are just so like they don't believe in anything, and they're like always arguing, and they're never like
And there's no, they didn't train for any mishaps. All their training was just, well, everything's going to go fine.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think it's easy to train for a weird alien attacking your station.
Like, no, but I'll give you, that's a great point. But here's the thing.
I haven't seen it, so I like that I'm arguing with you about a movie you've seen and I haven't. That looks terrible.
No, but they have protocols in place. There's a woman whose job, she is the quarantine officer.
Oh, God.
So there's one person alone
whose
in the
job is that is, to
there's
do.
There's a person whose job is to oversee that. Then there's a guy whose job is to be in the quarantine room. It's completely sealed off. He's touching the thing through these gloves. Like, they have all these safeguards in place because they can't have this getting back to Earth in the event that it could kill the planet.
Because they watched the movie Alien.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think the screenwriters watched clips of the movie Alien and maybe clips of the movie.
Well, maybe they watched Prometheus.
The episode Waters of Mars, Doctor Who special from 2000.
Yes, maybe part of that. And so there's just all these caricatures.
Is it scary at all?
There's times when it is. Uh-huh. That's the one saving grace. That there's times you're like, oh shit, and the monster that grows creeps around and they make the thing really creepy. It's a good creepy monster.
Okay.
But then the rest of it's just like...
But enough about Ryan Reynolds.
Hey! I feel like what happened is a few years ago, they realized they found a way to make it way easier to do zero gravity effects for space movies. So now it's like, let's just keep making space movies.
Right, like, after Gravity. And it was like, okay, well, we should all make these.
Yeah, we'll make The Martian. We'll make Passengers. We'll make Life. It is like, it's a new resurgence. Like, they don't have to just drop people from the sky anymore.
Even
they
Hidden
can actually...
Figures. There's always an astronaut movie now every year.
Well, yeah. I mean,
those zero grav scenes in Hidden Figures are pretty great, though.
Yes.
but I mean, I think that's a great point, though, Riley, because
the space between us too. We have there have been a lot of them.
Yeah.
Now we're adding them all up.
Yeah,
but there is cool footage of it's this space station that was in Mars that is now circling the Earth, and they show, so it's like, oh wow, it looks cool. The spacewalk scenes look cool.
Yeah.
But even then, they take stuff from Gravity that happens like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
It's just sort of like.
Does George Clooney just go drifting by at some point in the movie?
Perfect hair, just smiles, the old Clooney wink.
Yeah. I think we have more like of that kind of space movie now because NASA has so little funding now that we're fantasizing about having a good space program ever again. So
or maybe
good...
NASA needs to kickstart another movie and then hopefully if the movie turns a profit, then they can fund their own program. it's not worth seeing at all. The only saving grace is I'm warning all of you listening to this that don't see this.
You're welcome.
It's horrible. Yeah, I took a bullet for you guys for sure. I definitely.
It's a bummer because when the trailer for it and Passengers both dropped, I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to have these really interesting sci-fi movies.
I was so on board with Passengers.
Yeah, and then when I found out what it was really about, I'm like, I'm not. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because the trailer told you it was a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even to the point where there were scenes in the trailer that weren't in the movie that were crucial plot points, like there's a reason why we both woke up.
Yeah.
Like that was in the trailer. I'm like, it's not in the movie.
No.
Anywhere. Anyway.
Well, this is the other thing, too. The trailer for Life that I saw, I mean, it was one of those trailers, and we're going to get into it even later in the show, is that you basically see the entire film
in
the trailer,
too much.
And you're like,
that's
oh.
What I, yeah. There was one trailer I saw that was just the scene where the guy's reaching in to talk to the thing, and it, like, reaches out, and it's, like, the entire scene.
Right.
And I was like, that's all they ever should have shown. Just this one scene. That would have been the best trailer. I love trailers that just show, like, one thing that you go, oh, I got to see what's happening in this story.
That's fine.
That's perfect.
There's nothing wrong with having a trailer that is showing a scene from the movie to make you want to see it. Unless it's in the third act.
Like Unbreakable, where it's just that scene of him, that trailer that was just him sitting at that, and like the guy's like, oh, this train wrecked, everyone died. And like, why are you looking at me? Because there's not a scratch on you. That was the entire trailer.
That was it. That was it. And you were like,
yeah.
I'm
interested. Yeah, I want to see this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're showing too much in trailers. Now, getting to trailers now, let's talk about Justice League. This just dropped very recently, and I'll tell you, it's the same thing we've been saying. It's literally like DC is still trying to play catch-up to Marvel, but it's still got this weird Zack Snyder heaviness to it where it feels like every single piece of levity or humor is so forced in because it's not what Zack Snyder does at all. And like, we got to make it lighter, but it already looks horribly dark and bleak, and we're not going to stay true to any of these characters. But no, put a joke in.
I feel like
put
every joke in the movie is in the trailer. That's how I feel. That's what I feel like is happening.
Yeah. And I think, like, if I would have seen this trailer when I was 15, I would have been like, this is going to be... Oh, I would have been so pumped up.
Yeah.
I love DC characters. I love Justice League, but I'm sorry. The DC train wrecks and Zack Snyder, I just...
We got to get him away from the franchise.
If I'd seen his trailer before, I'd seen the trailers for Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, I might be excited.
Yes.
I know and Suicide Squad. I know they know how to cut a good trailer. I don't know they know how to cut a good movie.
And also, Superman conspicuously absent from the trailer as well. And you know he's in the movie because they give
you
that little tease
footage of him with the
and also you see there's Lois Lane is in the trailer, so you know she's
and women can't be independent characters.
They need men to help them out.
Not in that universe.
At least
they can't be.
Hopefully, with the Wonder Woman.
I'm being
Woman
serious
movie.
In real life. No,
I'm saying yeah.
Women shouldn't be allowed to drive. We're all on the same page, right?
I gotta get back
cover
to
up. Yeah.
cover up.
Yeah.
They all should be in burkas.
Yes. So, you know, we're watching this trailer, and I'll tell you, there's also an interesting rift between, like, the TV and the feature worlds. Like, whereas Marvel has separated them, where you have their TV characters and your movie characters, they're related, they reference each other, but now you have...
Well, one references one. The other one pretends the other does not exist.
Right. Yeah. but now you have like another Barry Allen, another Flash, where you have, and you also have another Superman and a Supergirl in the TV version. Whereas in the movie version, now we're just kind of recasting everyone, and these are how we're going to do them in the movies.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I don't know why DC can make such good TV shows. And they can't put these feature films together.
And their animated films are excellent, too. You know, a couple of them are hit or miss, but for the most part, they're nailing the animated ones. And it just seems like for live action, they're just not getting it. Now, I'm hoping it can get more on track, but we'll see. I mean, I will say this. As far as the trailer goes, it definitely seems like, and this is a very low bar, that looks like the best one yet of the ones that we've seen, which... kind of is good.
Okay. I'll say about it, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's trailer looks like, oh, this could actually be pulled out. Like, this might be decent.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that one's good.
But one has that, like, very Captain America, First Avenger vibe. It's kind of a period piece, but it also has superheroes. And it's
does.
A war movie. And,
but it's also, you prove that point where it still feels like it's catch-up from, like, this is the Captain America version of it with a... with Wonder Woman, so and these
I want these to be
these
cool,
heroes
like,
are so diverse and so interesting
Aquaman,
and so different. Yeah, there's
Wonder
so
Woman,
many stories
and they're interesting takes on the characters. Like
yes,
I like the attempt to like
I Cyborg got promoted. He was a Teen Titan. Now he's full Justice League member.
Yeah,
and
he's a villain in most versions of the story.
So
like, is he meant to be Hank Henshaw or somebody else? Because like Hank Henshaw is a bad guy, but.
Isn't that Cyborg Superman?
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, this is Cyborg from Team Titans.
Okay, because he looks like Cyborg Superman in this picture. Like,
he looks like Iron Man in this picture.
Yeah, he does. He looks like the Cyborg Superman that's in the Supergirl TV show.
Yes.
That's like the
Because
there's like two Hank Henshaws. There's Martian Manhunter, John Jones as Hank Henshaw, and there's real Hank Henshaw.
Yeah, this is the
That's the better version. Somehow, right? I just said what I just said out loud, and yet that's the better version of these stories.
Half of our audience has just exploded.
Yeah,
they're like, but yeah, this is like the cyborg from Teen Titans.
Okay,
there.
Okay.
All right, so now let's go to another type of superhero. This is a Marvel.
Yes, Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Yeah.
Because of, here's the thing. I have the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If Marvel didn't have their history, I would watch this trailer and go, man, they're going to screw up Spider-Man again. But because Marvel has done such a great job, they've gotten the rights to Spider-Man away from Sony or whatever. They made a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
Sony wasn't giving them up.
No one's going to give up that
We'll
kind
make
of
as many bad movies as we have to. Yeah, we're never getting rid of these characters.
But
that was the philosophy.
Yeah, like, if Sony just gets... a check and they have no creative say, then that's fine by me.
I mean, basically what's happening is Marvel is making the movie for Sony. That's how the deal kind of went. But, you know, and Iron Man we get it. Iron Man's in the movie. I mean, he kind of steals some of the scenes, too, in the movie now.
That's what the trailer. Robert Downey Jr. is going to do in any movie.
And I'll tell you, you had mentioned it before, is like, we don't need to see this much in the trailer.
That's the biggest problem with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It told us all way too much. I'm excited for this film. When they put the kid in the last, in the Civil War movie, I was like, that was awesome.
It's the best Spider-Man on screen of any of the movies. Like, that scene, this trailer could have just been that scene from that movie and been like, oh, this thing, but a movie. And I'm like, take my money. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's my, like, I grew up loving Spider-Man. Like, my hero. I geeked out about Spider-Gwen to these guys before we started recording. And that's, like, my new one. But Spider-Man's that whole, like... mythology, like, that's my favorite superhero, like, subset. And so I want to see it done really well. And I was burned out. I was like, I'm done with movie Spider-Man after the last two. But then that scene in Civil War, which I was not excited about at all. And then when it happened in that movie, I'm like, oh my God, I'm seeing a great Spider-Man on screen.
Yes.
And now I can't wait for this movie. But this trailer is, I've seen half the movie now.
Yeah, I would
know,
warn people.
I know, it's too much. I feel like.
Don't watch the trailer. I think you're going to, it spoils too much of it. I was like, oh man, I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think now we've just saw enough story to get us into, like, you know, the middle of the second act of this film already.
There's already a big reveal in this trailer that I'm really mad that I know now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that really bums me out.
But they don't need to do that.
So thanks for making me watch it, guys.
I know.
Yeah,
you're the worst.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert for the trailer, which is ridiculous. But I was the same way growing up with Spider-Man. It was the first, and this was back when you would, like, watch your mail to get, like, once a month a new Spider-Man comic coming in.
I subscribed to Spider-Man comics. Yeah.
And
I subscribed to Spider-Man, the Hulk, and Power Man Iron Fist.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all have kind of that nostalgia
for
Spider-Man.
It's awful. I know this is a film show, but it's
that bums me out. Luke Cage is so great.
I wish they had just done Power Man Iron Fist as a series and not done a separate.
I don't know what happened with Iron Fist. It's true. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it's totally off the rails in a weird way. We're like, okay, well, this is like Pixar making Cars 2.
It feels like every episode, somebody wrote an episode that did not watch any of the previous episodes. And just like you know those books where someone didn't read the page before the one before theirs?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like every three episodes, the show resets. It never knows who its villains are. The worst part about it is that the martial arts are few and far between and terrible when they come around.
Yeah,
for a show that should be the best fight scenes in any Marvel TV series.
That is the most surprising part. I'm like, wait, this is the whole point of this is martial arts. And... what is it, Finn Jones?
I'm almost glad they didn't cast an Asian guy to play Danny Rand, so I went out to pretend that I like it more than I do, because it is actually a terrible, terrible show. Like, and I'm almost glad that they didn't get anybody burned with
and
it.
And he's not fluid with his... You know, martial arts, there's a reason why art is in the title for martial arts. It really is an art form, and you can either look fluid or you can't, even with a bunch of training. It's like any other art.
James Liu was involved in the fight choreography
for Luke Cage.
We met him. You know, we met him. He was telling when we did Comic-Con, and we were like, you know,
we're doing it again this year. By the way,
we're doing it again this year. We'll be back at Comic-Con. But so when I just heard when we, you know, talked to James last year at Comic-Con, he's like, oh yeah, I did the fight choreography for Luke Cage. I was like, I mean, I already was like, oh, it's gonna be fantastic.
It's gonna be cool.
And so who did they get to fight choreography? Like,
I don't know what happened, but it's...
And I heard, like, they didn't even, like, get much time to rehearse it. Like, they kind of, like... I think the series was very, very rushed. I think they realized they needed to get Defenders out. And
yeah,
I think they probably should
have
just... I think they should have gone right into Defenders and had Danny Rand show up in Defenders. And, like, because it's clear that the Hand's going to be the villain of the Defenders. So, like, why not just have Danny Rand show up? Like, oh, I'm tasked with destroying the Hand. And
why didn't he show up in Power and in Luke Cage?
That's the way Luke Cage showed up in Jessica Jones. Like, it worked out great.
Yes.
You know your show is in trouble when the producers give the standard responses, well, we don't make the show for critics, we make it for fans.
Yeah.
And we know, oh, well, that means it's horrible.
Yeah.
That means that's exactly what that
means. Yeah, so now there's this thing called social media.
Yeah.
And there's fans furious about it.
Yeah. And then there's a handful of fans, just like with DC, where they're super on board with it, and they're
they
act like everybody who doesn't like it has an agenda against it. Like, I've heard certain people go like, "Oh, critics just really want to take Marvel down a peg or two." I'm like, "No, I want Marvel to always be amazing," and I've been excited for all these
shows.
Like
I said, it's Pixar. It's like even when you have an amazing track record, there's gonna be something.
There's
gonna
be.
I made myself watch the entire series, and it's not worth it.
But
do it. Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it too. And I've heard now.
I'm gonna go through it. Yeah,
I'm getting to it late, and I've heard all of this from all these different people saying.
I'm only on episode like 4, but I'm getting there.
All right.
So okay, let's go to DVDs. Now I'm not looking forward to
now
it. But
we're
I'm
all
still gonna
out.
Watch it.
Yeah, it gets. I think if you go in with it like, okay, how much more off the rails can this get?
Right.
And like that becomes the fun of watching it. I think you'll be able to get through it.
So
okay. That's what it was for me.
So it'll be like a drinking game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also when a character's motivations get flipped, drink, and then you'll be dead of alcohol poisoning by the time the show's over.
That's good to know. Okay, DVD, Blu-ray, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This movie, I actually enjoyed. Another movie that we went with the family. Everyone enjoyed it. A couple tonal issues, some weird parts where it was just really goofy and kid-like, and then a couple of very dark moments to it. But it was an interesting spin. Production design was amazing, as we had talked about, where you have period plus magic plus, you know, movie stars. So it was it's a decent movie. But again, it's a Harry Potter movie. If you're on board with Harry Potter, you'll like it. If you're not on board, you're not. This movie will not change your mind either way.
Yeah, I could live in that world for forever.
Right.
So I'm happy to see like even a mediocre movie set in that world. I think this is better than mediocre, but I would see. I've seen several because they were out in a series called Harry Potter. But
and why him? This was the Bryan Cranston paycheck movie. And
James Franco.
Yeah.
That felt like one of those movies. Like, I'm amazed it wasn't shot like in Paris or Tahiti. Like, you know, when celebrities
a vacation
just pick
movie.
Vacation movie like
Ocean's 12.
This movie's supposed to take place in Omaha. Maybe we should shoot it in the south of France. Maybe we should shoot it there.
Yeah. What if we remade Meet the Parents, but we put James Franco in it instead of Ben Stiller?
What are the tax credits in Cabo? So Patriots Day is that was the Mark Wahlberg
Boston bombing.
Mike Wahlberg saved Boston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the worst Boston accent anyone's ever done.
I don't know where what neighborhood in Boston is that one from.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now Silence, you actually saw this one.
I did see Silence. Mm-hmm. And as I said, there were Andrew McCarthy, I just can't get that on board with
Garfield.
Them. Garfield, whatever.
Yeah, not the guy from the 80s.
No, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. They rebooted him.
Like Zac Efron in Power Rangers. It really is the same guy.
Just give us a young...
As long as he's not playing Spider-Man again, I'm fine.
Just give us a young Brat Pack. So Andrew Garfield, you know, I want to recognize his abilities as an actor. He tries hard.
Could you recognize his abilities as a beard and a coif? movie.
Yeah. He's great at both those things.
He's in a season 3 episode of Doctor Who where he's playing like an American in New York in like the 30s, and he has like one of the most atrocious period accents like you've ever. Like it's just like this really weird like I don't know what's happening down. It's like this weird like half yokel, half New York guy. It's the most.
No,
it's
I
ridiculous.
See it.
Oh, and the English actors pronounce the hard R's to be an American.
Yeah. 20th Century Women was the next one, and then did you have more to say about
Silence?
Silence.
You know, there's some interesting stuff to it, but it it falls short on some, in some ways. I wish it was all about Liam Neeson, quite honestly, but but it was just Liam Neeson in a feudal Japan Taken is what I would rather see. But it's all
right. With a pet wolf?
Yeah,
what if he was Lone Wolf and Cub?
Yes, yes, yes. The fucking Liam Neeson was Lone Wolf and Cub. I'm in. 20th Century Women, I didn't see this.
No, we didn't see that one either. And Monster Calls. Now, Neil saw this one. He loved it. He thought it was really good. This is not, speaking of Liam Neeson.
Yeah, did you like it?
I loved it. I thought it was I sobbed like crazy. It's actually a pretty
big sad movie. Yeah,
I mean, it's a movie about a kid's mom dying. You're not going to, if you don't cry, you have no heart. But like, it also holds you down and is like, you will cry. But like, Sigourney Weaver is fantastic in it. She plays like a British grandmother, but she's delightful. She's not delightful. She's like scary and like cold and kind of heartless, and it's like she's like the mother who's watching her daughter die but also has to like take care of her daughter's problematic like behavioral problematic kid. The scenes where the tree comes in, it's all fantasy and stuff, is really well done. Liam Neeson is very like entertaining watching him chew scenery through a CGI character, but I loved it.
So it's treekin.
I'm telling you, that's Liam Neeson's power.
Yeah.
He's barely in Silence, and he's amazing. He's a tree. He's a CG tree in a Monster Calls, and he's amazing.
He whenever he says the kid's name, because the kid's name's Connor O'Malley, and just hearing Liam
Neeson. Connor O'Malley. I'll be back in 3 days to hear your story, Connor O'Malley.
And it's the visuals alone are, I think, what makes it amazing. And it's, what's interesting is each time he comes back to tell a different story, the animation style of the stories is different. It's like it breaks into these different cool animations and like things. I think it's a visually beautiful film.
I
was watching it because I love Felicity Jones too, but she's not in it very much because she's the dying mother. But like, it's.
Oh, well, we're gonna put it on the list on the queue.
All right,
for sure.
I'll see it.
Okay, and CJ reviewed Trainspotting. On the site, there's definitely some new reviews if you want to check out the site and also the message boards. The other thing, too, if you guys are having any trouble with the message boards, like sometimes we get some weird glitches, email us at info@comedyfilmnerds.com and we'll send it to our web designer, Brian, and make sure you're reset or whatever we need to do, because we've been getting a couple glitchy, spammy things happening lately. And definitely let us know so we can help you out.
We've gotten some cool messages and stuff like that on the Facebook page, and thank you guys for all those. I was trying to find one here, but I ran into a little problem. A tech issue.
Yes.
So thanks for those, and the suggestions. I think we're going to put a poll on the Patreon page of, like, pick your what movies you're looking forward to this summer. We're going to start doing
great.
Some polls on there.
Because we're getting very close to our, we may as well mention that now, our Patreon first goal, which will be 2 spoiler episodes a month. We'll put the poll up, and you guys, whatever you guys pick, then we'll do the spoilers on those. So we're almost halfway there. We're at like 4-something. The first goal is 1,000. We want to thank you guys all for being patrons. And if you haven't yet, please consider it, especially at the $1 or $2 level. Like, if we get enough of you guys doing there, we can, like we're talking about, expand the company. And if you could do 10 or 20, that would help us out significantly, dig us out of our earbuds hole, as it were, and then grow the company. That's pretty much what we're looking to do with the Patreon.
It's pretty cool that you guys would support it at this level, and we're going to try to... We're going to keep posting on all of our other social media as we have been, but we want to focus a little more to give the Patreon backers more content on the page. So we're going to put polls and cool stuff that'll be exclusive to the Patreon page.
And you'll get the free bonus episode too. Mm-hmm. That'll be once a month. That'll just be in the Patreon feed for Patreon.
And just
subscribers.
So Patreon works when. Once a month, so any of you that have already backed it, once your cards are charged in the beginning of April, that's when all the rewards will start going out.
Right.
Because we just got to make sure if a card doesn't go through or somebody changes their amount or whatever. So in April is
And
when...
I can guarantee you, you'll get your rewards quicker than Kickstarter. Front earbuds. I can guarantee that. That you can take to the bank.
You'll get them every month.
I walked by the actual Patreon office in San Francisco, and I went in and they gave me all your prizes.
Oh, so that's
perfect.
Just go on up to San Francisco to get the bonus episodes. Patreon's very cool. cool. I've been using it for my political vigilante page, which is which has been awesome. And we're talking to them. They might even be a sponsor for PodFest.
Yes.
They have a really cool platform and model.
And I'll tell you, one of the things for LA PodFest, too, they're always involved with us with panels and workshops. And especially if you are a podcaster, to come down to hear them speak directly about using Patreon to grow your podcast is invaluable, really, because you're getting the inside scoop on how to use it and what to do, and the insider scoop on support too.
Yeah, it's if you're doing, this isn't a paid endorsement at all. I mean, it's if you're an artist or doing something or videos, it's designed
to help you.
To help you, it's really. It's cool. I mean,
especially if it's something ongoing. Like Kickstarter is great for like, you know, a one and done or one big thing, or like, whereas Patreon is an ongoing thing, and that's what's they're really good about that, where it's, you know, okay, well, this is every month, but then you're getting this every month, and this is an ongoing piece of art, whether it's a podcast or a comic, whatever.
That's awesome.
So, all right. So let's do to premiering this week, The Boss Baby.
Come on.
Just looks
so
hilarious.
What is Alec Baldwin, like, what sort of debt was he in that he agreed to do this movie?
Something big. I think because he did the Capital One spots and then this, I was like, is he go through a divorce? Is Kim Basinger just soak him?
His agent has photos.
Did he punch one
was
too
just
many
like,
paparazzi?
Was it just like, hey, this will take you a day, and you have to do no... Because like, maybe he like went in one studio one day, recorded all his lines, and never did it again.
He did this from his house.
Yeah.
Like, he Skyped this shit in. Like,
I mean, I...
It really feels called in.
The idea of even throwing in the Cookies Are for Closers line in the trailer, I was like so mad. I'm like, really? This is the time you finally call back that line? I saw the trailer first when I saw Fantastic Beasts, and I leaned over to my friend and go, this is the first time in my life that I'm actually glad that I can't have my own children. Like, this is actually...
Yeah, and I will say my kids not excited at all.
Yeah, because it looks like crap. I don't know who it's for.
Yeah,
it looks,
I don't know.
It looks like the fake movie that like Adam Sandler was in Funny People, like the right? Like the kind of when you walk by, yeah, it's like Boss Baby, Young Pope, like all the movies. He like, why is
or
this a real thing?
When he's
yes,
for the remote control.
Or like in what's that movie with John Ritter, the Stay Tuned, where he's like going through all the bad TV channels. Like, that's what it looks like the movie that like Roger Rabbit is watching Baby Herman in. And
right.
Or like that. Yeah. Do you ever see that Onion video? It was on the Onion News Channel where a bunch of Katherine Heigl videos got released all at the same time, and they treated it like it was a hazmat thing.
Yes, I remember.
And they're showing all these posters of, there was one similar to like Legal Beagles, and she's like back to back with a dog with like a judge hat on or something. And it was like, it feels like Boss Baby was one of those.
Yeah.
Where she's like, they CG'd her face on a.
Well, something. All I can say is I'm happy some animators got some work.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Speaking of animators,
and I'm glad Kim Basinger's divorce attorney did so well.
She's clearly
helping.
Whatever therapy bills for that daughter that he yells at over the voicemail.
Yeah, I hope this is paying for her private college or whatever.
Ghost in the Shell. The more I see about this movie, the more baffled I am that it exists.
Yes.
You know, you have an amazing anime that's classic. Again, I was thinking like some executive went, look what they're doing with Beauty and the Beast. We need to do this with Ghost in the Shell.
And they're whitewashing it. Like, like, is Hollywood, they haven't learned anything from the Oscar so white thing. They're just still casting a white girl in this.
And the budget looks huge. It looks like a giant, giant budget film, too.
What I don't understand is if Scarlett Johansson is such a mega star that they have to cast her as the Japanese character in this movie, and they have her in Lucy and fighting in Hong Kong, whatever, why is there no Black Widow movie? Like, if she's such a big star that they have to use her, why are they not taking the iconic character people desperately want to see in a movie and giving her that?
Why isn't she
Then there'd be some backlash. Why isn't she Russian?
But you know what though? I'm trying to figure this out. Did the studio say, look, you got to do Lucy and Ghost in the Shell, and then we'll give you Black Widow? If that's what they're doing, okay, fine.
But I don't think
now,
it's the
same I will say for Ghost in the Shell, go see the classic anime. It's fantastic. And there's also, I don't know if you watch any anime, there was a bunch of spin-offs too. There was a couple of like, it was almost like Doctor Who's, where it was a couple like one offs of like these characters and this here.
That, like Aeon Flux.
Like they are so tech heavy that they make very little sense. Like even I'm sure some of this is lost in the translation, but I like to our Japanese fans.
That's Ghost in the Shell is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, the Ghost in the Shell.
That was a dumb joke, sorry.
There was the movie. But there's the movie, but then there were these little offshoots. Like these little TV series, but they were only like a couple episodes each. And I'd like to hear the Japanese fans, did they make sense to you? Because I watched them and they made very little sense to me. But the thing is, they're beautiful. They're animated so gorgeously that I don't know what's going on, but I'm enjoying it. It's like watching Akira.
Okay.
You know,
right.
So.
I just remember being like, I was never a big anime fan, but I remember before DVDs blew up and you had like whole seasons of TV shows on DVD, I remember like going into like movie stores and there'd be like these shows like this that just had like a whole shelf of VHS tapes that was like, I just can't imagine like investing that much time in these tapes. But like then I know people who just like have like piles and piles
right?
of them. And,
So and the next is The Zookeeper's Wife. This really feels like the intention was to be Oscar bait, and the result was February, March.
Yeah.
this probably had some horrific, test marketing screenings, focus group screenings in August.
Yeah.
And they went, okay.
Yeah.
Send it into March.
Yes.
So.
Bury that with the Boss Baby.
Yes. Yeah, because if you look, there's really, when you look it's coming out this weekend, there's something for no one.
There's something for absolutely no one. Like, Get a Monster Calls on DVD is what this is telling you
it's
right
now.
It's
a good week for Beauty and the Beast to do well again.
Yes. I mean, we're going to be seeing Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be seeing this weekend.
All right. Go help Saban get some money.
Yes.
No, he's tight.
Yeah.
He's tight on cash.
I feel like I may have talked up Power Rangers too much now, but like, it's good. It's just like I went in with no expectations, so I think just go in just like, it's gonna be a dumb action movie.
You know what I'm gonna do? Honestly, I still haven't seen Kong Skull Island, and
I
want to
see it too.
I want to see that.
It's still playing.
Yeah,
check it out.
I chose to see Get Out instead of that, so I think I made the right choice.
Get Out is good. Aaron is shaking his head. You saw Kong Skull Island?
I saw Kong after that episode.
Yeah, Aaron didn't
like
it.
Disappointed.
Why were you disappointed?
Just never let up. Just it almost put me to sleep how many monsters they threw at you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We have all the CGI. Let's just do it.
I don't know. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
Sure.
The family liked it. We were on board. But I think your sensibilities, though, especially with the Apocalypse Now, I think you're going to like it. I do.
Yeah, well, I'm not afraid of a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
I do love that Animals trailer where it's just like them playing, we got to get out of this place, and like it's like spread out throughout the whole trailer. I'm like, I just want to watch this trailer over and over again. Like, I kept waiting for the... There's a better life for me and you part. That's at the end. Like, I kept waiting for that in the trailer. I'm like, get to the end of the song because I'm hearing it in my head and I just want to play it.
Yeah, there's almost even some shots right from Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so great.
All right.
So, all right. Well, that is the show.
That is our program. Riley, where can people find you on the internet? Upcoming shows?
All right. If you are in the LA area, I am doing a show. It'll be a week from Friday at the Perky Nerd Comic Book Store in Burbank. And it's also a game store. You have to talk about game stores.
What's the date?
April 7th.
Okay.
And it's at 7:30, and it's called Harlequin. It's a comedy show. And it's a fun little show. And we have... a good lineup on it, and Khalees Hawkins and Janine Brito and Candace Thompson, I think, and Keith Carey. So it should be a good show. And then you can find me on Twitter at Rye Silverman or on Facebook as Riley Silverman. And I actually just got promoted to be I've been writing for a podcast. I think you're going to be on it in April. I write for a podcast called International Waters on Maximum Fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I have been a writer for it, and I actually just yesterday got promoted to head writer. So
congratulations.
On my first York episode you're going to be on is the first one that I'm like head writing.
Yeah, so. Laura Swisher. She's a producer there or something, and she asked me to be on. I've known Laura for years. You guys do that in Burbank? Or?
No, we do that in... it's downtown.
Oh,
it's
Max
in
Fun.
Max Fun.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about doing that. I also am doing this Wednesday, March 29th. I'm on a show at the world-famous Hollywood Improv, 8 o'clock in the main stage. There's a bunch of hilarious comics on that show. And then I am doing I'll be a guest on the Mixed Feelings podcast, which tapes live at Nerd Melt Showroom Tuesday, April 4th. And... thank you, guy. And I'm going to be at the Comedy Store Wednesday, April 26th, as part of the Nick Youssef show that we had Nick on. He does that show where you have to do new material. So that'll be cool. My first time at the Comedy Store in 15 years.
Yeah.
So that'll be, I'm excited to see if it's still haunted and there's knife fights.
There is.
There should be a welcome back Graham sign.
I'm sure everyone's going to be excited about it. So.
So Conrad will show up, take a picture in that hallway. So that'll be good.
And then, of course, guys, follow us at Comedy Film Nerds. That's another way to get... Every week, we put the guest's Twitter handle in our post of the episode. So if you want to start following Riley, you can follow us at Comedy Film Nerds. I'm at Graham Elwood. You're at Chris J. Mancini.
Yes.
Go to our Patreon page, as we said, for as little as a dollar a month. You can help the show. And when we hit the $1,000 level, we'll start doing more spoiler eps.
And if you can afford more, that's great. We can. But like a dollar or two, it helps. It really does. Don't think that it doesn't because, it's only a dollar or two. No, it does help.
So we've been videotaping all these shows that we've been doing at ATC, and when we get more money, we're going to start hiring an editor to cut them up. And
actually releasing them.
So you're going to see, like, each movie will set it, like, from this episode, they'll just be the Beauty and the Beast clip on YouTube, and and me talking about how horrible life is clip. Mm-hmm. And Riley overselling Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, that'll all
the
be
best movie of 2017. If you like The Handmaiden, you'll love Power Rangers. Because there's karate in it and a gay lady in it.
Power Rangers is exactly like The Handmaiden. Yeah. It is The Handmaiden of kids' karate movies.
Yeah, I think it is.
That's our... And check out Political Vigilante on YouTube.
Yep, and we're winding down the Kickstarter that I'm involved in called Alton Wright and Friends, that Bill Dwyer is starring in as a talk show that he does out of his garage as a crazy right-wing alternate right host. And it's only a $5,000 goal, but it could use a little love if you got another $5 or $10 to throw at it. It's Alton Wright and Friends at Kickstarter. I'm one of the writer producers. It's created by some graying sitcom writers from like The Jeffersons and Bosom Buddies. So it's really cool to be working with these guys and hearing the stories that they tell from the set. And
Bosom Buddy stories?
Oh my
gosh.
It's what the writer says. Yeah, it's the one time I was making more than Tom Hanks. You know? So it's Alton Wright and Friends on Kickstarter. It's only got about 17 days left, so check it out. It's only a $5,000 goal, but if we could get there with, with $5 and $10 here and there, it would be really great.
LA Podfest, October 6th through the 8th, already confirmed a bunch of cool shows. Hotel rooms are going fast. As we said, there's a giant doctor convention that weekend in downtown LA, so we cannot add more to the room block.
No, we can't build another hotel.
Well, if you guys get kicked into the Patreon, maybe we can. If everybody does $10,000
a
month.
We'll build another hotel in
the
downtown
Comedy
Los
Film
Angeles.
Nerds Hotel, the bed and breakfast. where you wake up every morning and you talk about movies.
Yeah.
That's October 6th through the 8th. So the discounted hotel rooms, they're $188 a night, which is our lowest price
ever.
Ever, I think, since maybe we had $179 like our first year in Santa Monica, but this is cool. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of weekend passes, and we've started this whole podcast pros thing.
Yes.
Which is we're really going to, instead of just like in the past, we've always had panels, but we want to make it like almost its own.
It's going to be a 3-day program, and there's going to be multiple things going on. It's going to be a great mix of panels, workshops, and live podcasts. So it's going to be Tom Merritt is going to be doing a live podcast down there. Innovation Crush is going to be doing a live podcast. And this is all just part of the panel and podcast pros program.
Yeah, what we wanted to do, because last year we had a lot of like tech professionals who came to the festival and were like, I want more panels. I want more business and more tech stuff. Like, and so we're expanding
that. We'll do it.
So your weekend pass gets you into podcast pros and all of the comedy shows and everything that we normally
have. So it's fantastic. It's not going to be a separate admission. You can watch a show. You can watch a panel all for one pass.
That is our program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Aaron and Brandon and everybody here at ATC.
Yep,
thank you to our guest, Riley Silverman.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Cadillac Volcano.